take your Bibles and I want you to turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3, please. Colossians chapter 3, once you arrive there, let's find verse number 1. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to find verse number 1. This is lesson number 29. And we've been talking about the subject of separation. Colossians chapter 3. And tonight we're going to talk about separation in regard to our speech or our talking, our language to some degree. But we're calling it separation and our speech. Colossians chapter 3. Stand with me if you would real quickly. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read out loud, starting with verse number 1. And then we're going to read through verse number 9. The Bible says this. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in that which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And there in verse number 8 and 9, we're going to give a little extra attention to those verses, but let me pray for us. Father, bless us and help us tonight that we would study the Bible properly and learn it properly. But God, not just study it, not just learn it, but live it. Help us to live the Scripture. And I pray, God, that we would all practice this important thing of separation. Now, Holy Spirit of God, control what's said, control what is heard. And then, Father, help us that we would live it, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In a moment, we're going to come back and glance at a verse or two there from Colossians chapter 3. But, you know, through the years, our methods of communication have been multiple. You can go back in time and the Indians, and not just the Indians, but the Indians were known for communicating with smoke signals. They had a way that they would send a signal to Indians in other parts of the country, and they would use smoke to get it done. Many of you have seen that communication. Maybe you've seen a carrier pigeon where they train a bird to take a message from one spot to another spot. The telegram, the telegraph, the telephone. And the telephone used to be that it took a wire to make it happen. And then of course, a mobile phone or a cell phone was developed, and email and the internet and the cloud, and on and on and on it goes. And again, to some of you young people, you have the ability to do what's called FaceTime. Way back when a bunch of us were kids, the thing of FaceTime would have been unheard of. That would have been science fiction for the future. That would have been something you would have seen on the Jetsons. How many of you ever seen the Jetsons comic? But it's here now. We're there. And the communication through the years. And I do not know what is next. I don't know if they're going to figure out a way. Was it Star Trek where you could go into a little room and they would beam me up, Scotty, and you could go from one place to another? I don't know what's next. I'm not getting in one of those machines, though. Be my luck, I'd get where I was going and I'd have no ears or no eyes, or I wouldn't mind losing my belly somewhere along the way, but the communication process is incredible. But words, and what we say and our mouth, it's always a part of it. And I think we ought to practice separation in a lot of different areas. And one of the areas is in our speech. Now, if you still have your Bible there in Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to point something out to you. In Colossians chapter 3, verse number 8, it says this. But now ye, but now ye also put off all these. And it goes and it talks about anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Now, when the Bible here tells us to put off, it's talking about distance yourself from this. Get this out of your habit. Don't do it. So, in essence, when he says in verse 8 to put these things off, he means separate from them. And then he goes into what things, and we're not going to talk about anger or wrath or malice or blasphemy, but we are going to talk about filthy communication out of your mouth. And so here he says, put it off. In other words, separate from filthy communication. And then he goes on in verse number 9, he says, lie not one to another. Now, there again, we're to separate from that communication, filthy communication, from lying. Now, we talked earlier, there are a lot of different ways of communication. We communicate with our mouth. You know, you communicate with your facial expressions. You communicate with, there are people that they use sign language. And you don't even have to know sign language, but people can communicate with their fingers, their hands, their body language. We can read certain things in someone's eyes. But the Bible says that we are to put off filthy communication. In other words, God is saying there are certain kinds of communicating that we shouldn't be a part of. Now, in James chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, if you take your Bible and turn to James chapter 3, I want to show you something. You've heard it from this pulpit before, but it's worth mentioning again. In James chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, the Bible talks to us about our words and about our mouths. And it says in James chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, it says this, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." Now, God here makes the statement. He says, you know, if you can learn to control your mouth, he said, you stand a far better chance of controlling the rest of your body. And he uses the illustration of putting a bit in a horse's mouth, and by controlling the horse's mouth, then you can control the horse's whole body. So, if I think then what God might be telling us, that if we can learn to separate in our conversation, if we can learn to separate in how we handle our mouth, then we are going to be far more successful in separating in regard to our bodies and how we handle our body. Because he said, look, we put a bit in a horse's mouth and we can control the whole body. If you can learn to separate in your speech, in your conversation, in your communication, if you can do that, then probably some of the other issues of separation may come a little easier. They may come to you and you'll succeed at them just a little bit more. Now, I'm going to read a handful of verses. You won't be able to turn to them as quickly as I'm going to read them, but I'm going to give you about 7 or 8 verses I just want to read. And every one of them have to do with our words, our mouth, or our communication. The Bible says in Psalm 19:14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Always remember, it's not what is acceptable in my sight or your sight. What we say ought to be acceptable in his sight. Now, Matthew 12:37 says, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." In other words, you know, what we say and what we handle with words right, and what we say and handle with words wrong, going to have everything to do with how God sees us and how others will see us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Which, by the way, then, that means whatsoever we say. Everything we say ought to bring glory to God. In Colossians 3:17, it says this, Whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So, in word, all my words are to be words that would be pleasing to God. Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Exodus 20:7 says, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God... Take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Ecclesiastes 10:12 says, the words of a wise man are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. Over and over and over again, it is amazing how many times in the Bible God talks to us about how we talk, about our words, about our lips, about our mouth, about communication. But He makes it clear, we are to put off filthy communication. We're to put off lying. All I'm going to do is I'm going to very quickly this evening, I'm going to talk about some areas that we should practice separation in regard to our talk, our conversation, how we communicate. For instance, number one, we should separate from lies. We should separate from lies. If you want to turn, and you can turn quickly, in John 8:44, the Bible says this, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. We should separate from lies. Earlier, when we were in the book of Colossians, it said that we are to put off lying. So, God tells us there's some things that we should separate from. In our speech, we should separate from lies. The Bible says that the devil is the father of lies. We're to separate from that behavior. Now, something that's very, very interesting, Titus 1:2 tells us that God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Why? God is truth. And the devil's the opposite of it. And so God said, separate from lying. Oh, lies come in a variety of forms, and I'm not going to go into those, but I want to recommend to all of us that we separate. We separate in the area of lies. And they're everywhere, and it's too bad that it is taken so lightly today. It used to be a person's name meant a lot to them, and they wouldn't want to tell a lie because it would mar their name. It would mar their family name. It would mar their family reputation. But today, lying is almost socially acceptable. But you shouldn't lie. You shouldn't be printing in it. You shouldn't be writing anything on Facebook that's a lie. You shouldn't be involved in lying. Why? We're to separate from lies. Secondly, we're to separate from cursing or swearing. Ephesians 4:29, I'm going to read it to you. Ephesians 4:29, the Bible says this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Here in this passage of Scripture, it teaches one of the basic concepts that I taught all the way at the beginning of the series on separation. Separation is from something to something. And we are not just to not do bad, but we are to do good. And in this passage of Scripture, it tells you don't have corrupt communication proceeding out of your mouth, but have good communication proceeding out of your mouth. And it actually says here that it is for the use of edifying, and that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And so here, what we say is to edify, but the whole purpose of this point is we're not to curse. We're not to swear. Now, I want to apply that to what we'd call filthy words, or we called it cussing when I was growing up. I don't know exactly what all they call it today, but let me tell you, it's wrong to cuss. You need to watch, and may I say, and though I'll repeat this a little later on, one of the most common the most common curse words usually include God's name or the name Jesus Christ involved. And to me, that's double dog bad. But we're not to cuss. We shouldn't cuss. We should not swear. We should not use filthy words. And young people, I'd recommend something. If you hear a word that's used on television, you hear a word that's used in your music, and you're not sure what it means, don't say it. There's a good chance it's a bad word. They still call them bad words, you know. There are bad words. There are things that you should not say. You should not cuss. And I want to recommend to parents, if you cuss, don't be shocked that your kids don't pick up that kind of language. When they hear it, they're going to repeat it. And there's something I think this is very, very true. Cuss words change from generation to generation. There are words that young people may use today, and they're curse words. Now, Mom and Dad, you might not realize what it is, but they do change from generation to generation. Now there are the staples in the cursing world where it's that old word is still a nasty word, or it's a filthy part of conversation, but we're to separate from swearing or cussing. We're to separate from lies. God said, you need to put off improper or wicked conversation or communication. Now, number three, Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 20 tells us that we're to separate from hasty words. Hasty words. I'm going to read to you from Proverbs chapter 29. Now we're talking about not what we would consider a cuss word, but now it's just how the word is delivered. And the Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 20, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him." Now, God is saying here that if you're hasty in your speech, hasty in your words, you understand, he said, there is more hope for a fool than for someone that's hasty. I think God is telling us, before you speak words, you might want to put a delay in between what comes out of your mouth and what your brain thinks. You're going to find out, when we talk about angry words here in just a minute, most of the time, if you're hasty, that's where some of the angry words come from. If you respond too quickly and you throw those words out there too quickly, they may end up coming across, or they may be angry words. I think it is wise in most cases to put a delay on your words. Don't you say, well, I just say what's on my mind. That's stupid. You shouldn't say everything that's on your mind. I meet people all the time that say, well, with me, what you see is what you get. Can I tell you something? You got to clean up what you are, and you shouldn't say everything that you think, and not everything that comes out of your mouth is right. And you know, there are people that would act like that, and then if their children turn around and behave the same way, they'd want to punish them. You know, you're not just say everything you think, but adults will. No, God said you need to be careful that you're not hasty with your words. You see, when you get saved, the Spirit of God comes to live within you. And we need to be cautious that we do not let our flesh create haste in how we handle things, especially with our words. Sometimes you need to take a moment, submit yourself to the Holy Spirit before you say anything. That'll keep you from being hasty. I think God expects us to show self-control. I think there are times when we need to respond slowly. I probably get in more trouble in my relationships when I just let what's in my brain just come out of my mouth without putting a delay on it. And it's wrong. So, when it comes to our communication, we're to separate from lies. We're to separate from swearing or cursing. We're to separate from hastiness in our words. Then, we're to separate, the Bible teaches, from angry words. Angry words. If you have your Bible with you, and you want to turn to James chapter 1, we'll look at James 1. In James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Now we're going to see there are angry words. And remember, the way that God put it, he said we're not to let any corrupt communication come out of our mouth. And then he goes through the scripture and tells us many, many ways of seeing this corrupt communication, how we would see it. Now, James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, the Bible says this, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God's." Now, of God. Now, the Bible is teaching us that we need to separate from angry words. Again, I think God would tell all of us, it might be a good idea for you to cool off a little bit before you talk. Hey, you want to respond, and if you're not careful, if you're hasty with your words, then that anger comes out. And God is telling us that we ought to be slow to speak. Why? God knows that in our flesh we will say something that we should not say, and we will say it in a way that we should not say it. And I think as much as us not going out and doing illegal drugs, and you say you ought to separate from that, I think we ought to also separate from angry words. I think angry words are wrong. Matter of fact, hasty words, remember, God said, if you're hasty with your words, there's more hope of a fool than in you. So, you've got to cool off before you talk. Cool off before you text. And now, when words are spoken and they're heard by the ears, that's one thing. But I'll tell you what, with texting and with email, once it's in print, now you really are in trouble. And you say, well, I said some stuff I shouldn't have said, but I erased it. I know people in here that thought you erased it, and it got around before you got it erased, and you got caught, whether you believe it or not. And you said words you shouldn't have said, and you said them in ways you shouldn't have said them. And so you say, well, what's the answer? Don't say them. Don't say them. Watch those angry words. Cool off before you text. Cool off before you send that email. Cool off before you talk. A weakness of mine is I want to say what I want to say, and I say it my way, and it can be very, very pointed, and I have to keep working on me that I control my tongue. So, listen, you might feel like, you know, Pastor, I'm pretty separated in life. Well, God said one of the areas where you really need to practice separation is with your conversation. How you handle your words, how you handle your communication. And I think He knows that that's something that's all day long, every day, and God wants us to, He wants us to live a separated lifestyle. So separate from having lying lips, and separate from swearing and cursing, and separate from hastiness with your words, and separate from anger in your words and anger in your communication. Then, the Bible teaches us that we should separate from evil words. Evil words. Psalm chapter 34, verse number 13. Psalm 34, verse number 13. In the Bible, it says this. It says, "Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile." That's very interesting. We won't go into guile, but that's a nasty word. And it's talking about that is putrid from the inside. But when God says evil, He said you need to separate from evil talk, evil words. The word keep there means to separate, keep a distance. Evil and sin, and you've heard this many, many times, evil and sin are not exactly the same, but they're in the very same category of life, and then they're in the very same realm. Evil has a lot to do with the destroying of another person's reputation and pulling others into it. Sin is a breach of the law of God, and sin is something that I might do that affects me. Evil's when I pull other people into it, and especially if I am guilty of, I would call it like character assassination. You are out to hurt another. You're out to hurt somebody else's reputation. And God said, you should separate from that kind of behavior. You should not be evil. You should not be out to destroy another person. I don't know. I'm going to expect that. I know when email became extremely, extremely popular, it was just amazing what people would do with email and hurting other people and hurting other people's reputations. Now I expect in texting and everything that's available, I'm just sure it's notorious with Facebook and everything. There are probably attacks everywhere, just constantly, where people are out to destroy somebody else. And now they can very, very quickly spread whatever they want to spread about whoever and say whatever. And so, but God said we are to separate from evil. So with our conversation, we should separate and keep evil conversation. And now you understand that you separate with your mouth, but you probably should separate with your eyes and separate with your ears. Don't listen to evil. Don't look at evil. Separation has so many different aspects of life. And usually a fundamentalist, somebody that would consider themselves an old-fashioned fundamentalist, the separation issues always have to do with their music or their entertainments or their dress habits and things like that. But there's more to it than that. And I think all of us need to make sure we control our mouth. We need to get it under control. Don't lie. Don't swear. Don't be hasty. Don't be angry. Don't be evil with your words. Now, let's move on. I think we should separate from bearing false witness. Bearing false witness. If you have your Bible and you want to turn to the book of Exodus, we'll go back to Exodus chapter 20. And, of course, that's where the Ten Commandments are found. Exodus chapter 20. And I want us to look at verse number 16. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 16. In Exodus 20:16, it says this, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy brother." And here God, again, is saying this is something from which you want to separate. You don't want to bear false witness. Now, well, what's it talking about? Well, I think most people know what a witness is. It's you giving testimony to something that may not be true. Now, let me tell you something. If somebody tells you something, but you don't know that it's true, but then you pass that on to someone else, you have now become a bearer of false witness. You're passing on information that you don't have factual proof that it's true. That's false witness. You say, "Well, I've never been a false witness. I've never gone to court and stood up in court and testified against my brother." Oh, you don't have to go to court to be a false witness. All you have to do is pass on something that may or may not be true. You've delivered a falsehood. And God says that's very, very wrong. And I'll tell you when that'll bother you. When somebody does it about you. When you're the victim of the false witness, you're going to be upset about it. And so you just remember that. You remember the next time somebody passes on something about you that's not true. Maybe you ought to think back to the times when you didn't know whether it was true and you passed it on and you hurt somebody. You hurt their reputation or you bore false witness. And so, in the United States of America, if you go to court, and you stand up and you tell something in a court of law and you are found to be a liar, you can be charged because you've perjured yourself. You have lied in court and you can be held very, very accountable. Let me tell you what's worse than that. God knows if you bear false witness. You say, "Oh, I never want to go down to the court and face a judge and lie." You should never want to lie. Whether you know, there's a bigger judge than the guy that's sitting down at the courthouse. There's God the judge. And God's keeping track. You say, "But you know, those people, they are penalized. I mean, they pay fines." You might be shocked at how many times you've paid a fine placed on you by God because you bore false witness. Not at the courthouse, with your Facebook, with texting or emailing or just in conversation down at the Waffle House. You shouldn't bear false witness. Bible makes it very clear. So God says, I want you to separate. I want you to separate in your conversation. I want you to separate from lies. I want you to separate from cursing. Separate from the hastiness of conversation. And separate from anger. And separate from evil. And separate from being a false witness and giving testimony of things that you're not sure of. Listen, if you hear bad news about someone, can I recommend before you go spreading it all over the internet, could I recommend that you pray for them? Amen. Could I also recommend that you better figure out whether it's true or not? So it's false witness. Now, in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 7, we see again, and I mentioned this earlier, and I'm going to mention again now, we're to separate from using God's name in vain. Separate from using God's name in vain. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, it says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Now, here, God says you're guilty of something that is pretty powerful when you take God's name in vain. And that's where I was telling you earlier, I think that people use cuss words, and for some reason they want to include Jesus Christ. For some reason they want to use God's name. Now, I cannot figure out any logical reason why anyone, when they're angry or cussing, would have to include Jesus. What's the logic behind that? Is that not, to me, that's demonic. It's demonic. Why would Jesus have to come into this? Why would God have to come into this? If you use God's name in vain, and if you use Jesus Christ's name in vain, God said, you will not be guiltless. Say, why would he feel so strongly about it? Because he's trying to figure out what he do in this situation. The guy that cut you off while you're driving was not trained in the Jesus Christ driving school. It's a demonic that the devil could cause you to curse and use God's name when God had nothing to do in the moment. And so, you would have thought that somewhere along the way we could have started using Charles Manson's name instead of God's, or Hitler's name instead of Jesus Christ, but they don't. They want to use God's name. They want to use Jesus Christ. And God makes it very, very clear. He said, you are not to use my name in vain. You are not to do it. And remember, he said, you will not be guiltless. You say, well, it's just a bad habit of mine. Then knock it off. Knock it off. You can stop if you want to stop. And you will be held responsible for it. Let me go on. Let me give you another. I think we're to separate from using too many words. Too many words. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 19. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 19. The Bible says this. It says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. I think God would say to us, there are sometimes we just talk too much. We just talk too much. Now, let me tell you, I think when we talk too much, that can be where angry words and evil words and false witness, that's where it can come from. I think if we talk too much, sometimes we just need to be quiet. You know that we don't, I don't think anywhere in the Bible it tells us that we have to repeat everything that we hear. I don't think anywhere in the Bible does it say that we have to answer every little thing. Talking too much, babbling, useless words, a waste of words. So I think we probably ought to think more and talk less. And for certain, we ought to think before we talk. But when it comes to separation, God said we need to be careful. There are evil words. There are false words. There are cuss words. There are words that should not be used. And though from generation to generation they may change, we ought to keep an eye on it. If you want to truly be separated, then it's not just the words that you say, it's how you use the words, and there's an attitude involved with the words, and God is saying, you need to get your mouth under control. There are people in here, there are issues of separation that you would die for. And God would say, get your mouth under control. That's one I want you to practice. I think separation in our communication and separation in our words is a very, very big deal to God. So, and again, Proverbs 10:19 is talking about just talking too much. It actually even tells us in another place in the Bible, it says that talking too much will cost you. It'll cost you, and it will. There's a variety of ways that talking too much will cost you, but it will cost you. You go to work, and you're babbling at work constantly. When you were supposed to be working, you won't get a raise someday. The boss is going to say, you know what, I'm not going to pay you to talk all the time. You're at work and you're on your cell phone all the time when you were supposed to be producing for the boss. Sooner or later, that's going to catch up with you. It's going to cost you. If you talk too much, there's going to be some heartaches that are going to come your way in life and it's going to cost you something because you use too many words. And God is saying, you need to separate from the babbling of life. I'm going to give you another scripture. It's going to be, another point. It's going to be maybe a little bit like that one, but let me give it to you. I think we need to separate from wasting words. Wasting words. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 19. 1 Samuel 3, verse 19 is a very interesting scripture. In 1 Samuel 3:19, it says this, and Samuel grew. And so, you know, Samuel was one of the finest men in the Old Testament. What a great, great man he was. 1 Samuel 3:19 says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. None of his words fall to the ground. Now, let me tell you something. If I was eating a chocolate bar, I wouldn't want a piece of it to fall to the ground. I'd want to hang on to it. Because when it falls to the ground, I would consider it wasted. Although there's the 5-second rule. But that the 5-second rule is not necessarily scriptural. Now, when it talks about the words falling to the ground, it's talking about the wasting of words. I would say this again. Be careful. Don't spend your life saying useless things. You know, there are times, there are just times when I know I can be in a conversation and the person that I'm talking to have their mind made up. They came in with their mind made up. And it's already clear that they've got their mind made up. You say, well, what will you talk to them about? Probably nothing. Because I'm not going to spend 45 minutes with somebody that's already decided what they're going to do. And it's talking about when words fall to the ground, it's talking about they're being wasted. Maybe I would recommend that we think through what we say. I've said that many times in this series. Think before you talk. Then think about how it sounds. You might even want to think about how it might be perceived. You say, well, I don't care. If I say it right, if they take it wrong, that's their problem. Now, you can say that if you want. But I think a wise person not only tries to figure out how to say it, but how it might be perceived when it's said. Because you might not be presenting it the smartest way, though your pride says, well, I said what was on my mind. This is how it is. There have been more than one time I've said what was on my mind because I thought I knew what was best. And a few minutes later, I'm thinking, that was the dumbest thing I've said in a long time. Sure didn't think through that well. Sometimes you ask yourself, is there a better way to say it? Does it need to be said at all? Should it all be said at one time? Is there a softer way? Hey, is it the scriptural thing to say? Am I helping anyone? Silence is beautiful, isn't it? So separate from wasting words. You know, I have watched people. I had somebody one time had told me that they really wished that they could do better in life, and that they wanted to succeed more. And somebody told me, said they're on Facebook all the time, just all the time. Can I tell you something? You will not succeed in life because you're on Facebook all the time. That's not what brings success in life. You want success, you shut that thing down and you go get a job and you work hard and you pay your bills and you make it in life. Matter of fact, you learn to communicate with a real human being. But we can just waste ourselves. We waste words and we don't think about what we say and why we say it. And is there a better way to say it? And does it have to be said? And could it be said in a more polite fashion or a more scriptural fashion? But the Bible talks about words that fall to the ground. When I was going to Bible college, I remember how I had really said to myself, if I am going, I couldn't wait to graduate from high school. I was ready to be done. I was so glad that I graduated from high school. And then when I realized I was going to go to college, I thought to myself, brother, more school. Do I want to go to school more? And here's what I told myself. If I am going to put myself through this, if I'm going to go to school more, I am going to get what I went to college to get. I am going to study. And you say, why doesn't everybody feel that way? Oh, no. There are all sorts of people who went to college, didn't learn what they went to college to get. But I decided that. So you know what I did? I didn't want the words that were being given to me, the teaching that was given to me. I didn't want it to fall to the ground. I didn't want it to be wasted. I wanted to make sure what I was hearing was going to, I was absorbing it. I wanted to use it. Hey, I want to do the same thing with my words. I don't want to waste my words. If I'm going to say something, I want to say it. I want to think through it. I want it to be used well and used right. So separate, I think, according to 1 Samuel 3:19, watch the wasting of words. Then Colossians chapter 4, verse number 6, and this will be the last point I'll give you tonight. In Colossians 4, 6, I think the Bible would recommend that you and I are very careful about not being hateful, mean, or harsh in our words. Colossians 4, 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, or always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now, here the Bible's talking about our words being gracious. That doesn't say that you can't tell the truth, but it does say that you need to learn how to tell the truth in a gracious way. So I would say that we should separate from being hateful in our words. I think we're to hate sin. I don't think we're supposed to hate people. So when you've got an issue with someone, if there's sin, then we attend to the sin. But I think people ought to know that they're loved. I think people ought to be treated graciously. So we started the night out in Colossians chapter 3, where the Lord said we are to put off filthy communication. The word put off there, it's talking about separating from it. I'm to separate. I'm to separate from lies. I'm to separate from swearing. I'm to separate from hasty words. I'm to separate from angry words. I'm to separate from evil words. I'm to separate from bearing false witness. I'm to separate from using God's name in vain. I'm to separate from using too many words. I'm to separate from wasting words. And then I'm to separate from hateful, harsh words that do not include grace along with the truth. Well, I think it's probably harder to separate in conversation than most any other part of separation. It's probably the hardest part because we communicate all day long, every day. And God wants us to learn all day long, every day, to be mindful of our mouth. You say, well, what's the big deal? The Word of God is powerful. God understands the power of words. Do you know the Word of God is perfect? God is a perfect God. God's words are perfectly holy and pure. He wants us to follow in His example. What's that mean? We need to get our mouth under control. God's is perfectly under control. That's what makes Him the perfect Word of God.